This is Fresh Air. Homosexuality has become an issue in the presidential campaign. They're actually going to vote on it in Oregon. On the November ballot will be an initiative to amend Oregon's state constitution so that minority status, affirmative action, or similar concepts could not apply to homosexuality. The state and local governments would recognize homosexuality as abnormal, wrong, unnatural, and perverse. The government and the school system would be required to discourage homosexuality. Last spring, a similar initiative was passed in Springfield, Oregon. In a few minutes, we'll speak to the leader of the coalition opposing the Oregon initiative. First joining us on the telephone is Scott Lively, the communications director of the Oregon Citizens Alliance, the group that is sponsoring the initiative, Ballot Measure 9.
Measure 9 is an attempt to put a barrier between private behavior and public policy, and to say what you do in the privacy of your own bedroom is your own business, but please don't try to get our government to sanction the homosexual lifestyle and allow it to be presented to our children in the public schools as a normal and natural alternative.
So what do you think the government should do to prevent that from happening?
Well, I think Measure 9 sufficiently addresses that by basically saying that that you cannot use tax money to promote homosexuality. You cannot teach children that homosexuality is a good and normal choice, and that you cannot extend minority benefits and affirmative action on the basis of a private sexual choice.
How has homosexuality adversely affected your life?
Well, it's rather like the issue of drug use from the 1960s. Is that when a few people were smoking pot out in a field somewhere, it really didn't hurt anybody. But when you had a widespread cultural phenomenon of drug use, it became really an epidemic and very destructive. The same sort of thing with sexual permissiveness. You know, when a couple people are out, being involved in, deviant sexual behavior, it really doesn't hurt anybody. But when it becomes a widespread social government-sanctioned lifestyle, then we have serious problems with it. And we're saying that we've gone too far in the area of permissiveness. It's time to push back the line a little bit.
Your initiative basically equates homosexuality with pedophilia. Do you think that relations between two consenting adults of the same sex is the equivalent of pedophilia?
Well, all of us are born with the capacity to be involved in every kind of deviant sexual behavior, whether it's homosexuality or pedophilia or bestiality. It's a voluntary sexual act, and we're just saying that not necessarily that they're equal, but that they all belong on the same list of wrong sexual behavior.
Mr. Lively, do you think of yourself as a tolerant person?
I had a former homosexual man that was dying of AIDS that spent the last year of his life living with my family. And I care about these people that I feel are trapped in a dysfunctional lifestyle, and I do have tolerance and I have compassion for them, but I'm not going to condone what their behavior. I'm not going to condone a lifestyle based on sodomy.
Do you think that homosexuals should lose their jobs or their housing?
No. I think that our measure protects people's jobs. As long as they're not promoting homosexuality or the other behaviors in the workplace, and as long as they're not allowing children whom they have a regular and direct contact with to view homosexuality as a viable option for them to choose.
Your initiative would outlaw promoting, encouraging, or facilitating homosexuality. I wonder how far that goes. Say, you have a public library, and in the library are novels by gay or lesbian authors, or a book that discusses homosexuality in a positive light. Would the library have to get rid of those books?
No, nothing in our measure would supersede the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. And we have a document called the Statement of Legislative Intent, and an endorsement letter from Bruce Fine, who's a major constitutional scholar, who says that nothing in the measure is going to impact the adult library materials. However, under the interest that the government enjoys in protecting children from harmful things, we might be able to challenge things like Daddy's Roommate and Heather Has Two Mommies and have them removed from the children's shelves and put in a reserve section in the adult library.
Now, what about state-funded or city-funded programs that would counsel homosexuals or would deal in any way with homosexuality without condemning homosexuality? Would they lose their funding?
No, they would be required. Basically, anybody that's using our tax money in the area of addressing homosexual behavior would be required to try to discourage the behavior. And I think that's only logical in light of the AIDS crisis and other epidemics of diseases within that are connected with the homosexual lifestyle. That when it comes to using public funds, that we should make a distinction there. And if someone wants to get pro-gay counseling, they can go to a private facility.
Scott Lively is the communications director of the Oregon Citizens Alliance, which is sponsoring ballot measure number 9 in Oregon. We'll talk with the leader of the group opposing the initiative after the short break. This is Fresh Air. My guest Peggy Norman directs the coalition that is opposing Oregon's ballot measure 9, which would require the state government to actively discourage homosexuality. I asked Norman for her description of the initiative.
The full text of the, as they've called it, Abnormal Behaviors Initiative, says three really important things. The first thing it says is that the state of Oregon and all of our subunits, so even local government, cannot use any phrase or category that refers to sexual orientation or sexual preference. And so the first thing that would do is invalidate a portion of our hate crimes law and repeal the Portland City Ordinance that refers to, along with a whole other list of protected classes in our civil rights legislation, it would repeal that as well, because it refers to sexual orientation. The second thing that the proposed law says is that state, regional, local governments, their properties and their monies can't be used, and here are the important verbs, to promote, encourage, or facilitate homosexuality, pedophilia, sadism, or masochism. So they link all those things together, and in an earlier version they even included bestiality and necrophilia, which shows you where their perspective is coming from. And that particular thing is the sort of catch-all, because whether you're promoting or encouraging or even facilitating catches a lot of people, a lot of heterosexual people, a lot of organizations that are certainly not advocates for the gay community, but also support civil rights for the gay community. So it has a real widespread effect. And the third piece, which is important, says that state, regional, local governments, and specifically our State Department of Higher Education, kindergarten through college, shall set a standard for our youth that recognizes homosexuality as abnormal, wrong, unnatural, and perverse, and to be discouraged and avoided. So it will use our state school system to teach propaganda and to promote a view of what's acceptable and tolerable and what's family that I think is really reflected in the values of only a tiny minority of Oregonians.
What do you think might come under the umbrella of promoting, encouraging, or facilitating homosexuality?
I think it's a whole raft of things. That clause means that our public libraries should not be buying books that have information that is positive about homosexuality. It means that our libraries and public television and public radio and the arts and the theater are all subject to censorship. I think it also means that if you are someone that has to be licensed by the state of Oregon, for instance, if you're a pediatrician or you're a physician or a lawyer or an accountant, maybe you're a physical therapist, any of those people who have the requirement of getting state licensing, If you are known to be lesbian or gay, or if you serve a lesbian or gay clientele, I think that you are in jeopardy, because it says that the state can't use its monies to facilitate that. It also means that if you're a group like Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon, a sort of a coalition, a broad-based coalition of religious folk, but you have an HIV day center, and as part of your clientele, there are significant numbers of gay people, and you don't condemn that, you don't teach that homosexuality is perverse and to be avoided, then you probably cannot receive any county money or any state money to do your work that provides direct services to the lesbian and gay community.
What are your fears of the impact this bill will have on gay and lesbian individuals if it's passed? I mean, this initiative.
The first thing that's going to happen, and the proponents of the initiative have admitted this, is that some people are going to lose their jobs. The legislative intent written with this measure says very specifically that if you're in a job that has any contact with children, that if there is any indication that you are lesbian or gay or supportive of that community, then you have to be investigated. And if it is found that you are lesbian or gay, then you must be replaced in that job. So school teachers are going to lose their jobs. Pediatricians are going to lose their jobs. Children's librarians are going to lose their jobs. Coaches are going to lose their jobs. And the list goes on.
Could you tell us a little bit about what the experience has been like for you to go head-to-head with people who think of you as perverse and as undeserving of civil liberties?
I grew up in Oregon. I was born here. And I've seen something change as a result, direct result of this campaign. It's a state that has a reputation around the country as being pretty liberal, and at the very least that there is a lot of tolerance and acceptance of different lifestyles. What has been unleashed by this ballot measure is not only a lot of hatred and a lot of intolerance and attacks against lesbian and gay people, but also attacks against the supporters, the heterosexual supporters of civil rights. So in the last few months, I think our state has really become a tinderbox of hate, and it's just barely leashed the sort of anger and violence, and the lesbian and gay community is terrified. People feel like their lives are absolutely on the line and that everything is at risk now. And I think that the heterosexual supporters of civil rights for lesbians and gay men are being treated just as if they were gay. They're getting the harassment, they're getting the death threats, they're getting the angry, hateful mail, just as if they were lesbian or gay. And I think that ought to teach us something about if you accept intolerance against one group, it spreads.
Have you been subjected to harassment?
Oh, sure, on a regular basis. One of the pieces of mail we got this week had an OCA yes scrawled across the mail, and then it had a swastika, and then it said, die, fags, and lesbies. And that's sort of, you know, we get that on a regular basis. We get that kind of mail.
OCA is the acronym for the group that supports the Anti-Gay Initiative
Alliance. They're the group that's promoting this discriminatory measure. And then we also get the phone calls. We've our chief spokesperson for the campaign, who's heterosexual, 61 years old, a grandmother, and she also works for Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon, so she's a person of faith, got death threats in the middle of the night. It's spreading.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Peggy Norman, and she's the manager of the campaign in the state of Oregon that is opposing an anti-gay initiative. We're going to take a short break and then talk some more. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Peggy Norman, who heads the group that is opposing an anti-gay initiative in the state of Oregon. You say that this campaign is about changing values. Isn't that just what a lot of people are afraid of?
I think that what people are afraid of is what they have no information on. I don't think that lots and lots and lots of people are afraid of what the lesbian and gay community wants if they have that information. The lesbian and gay community wants equal rights, nothing more. They want to be able to have a job that they can go to and that their job performance will be based on passion that they bring to their work, how successful they are at doing it, and not based on a stereotype about them. They want to be able to have housing that they can afford to rent or buy and not be discriminated against in looking for that housing. It's the simple kind of thing. They want their families to be free from discrimination and to be respected by the school system.
Now, earlier today, I spoke with Bob Knight, the director of the Family Research Council, a pro-family values group. And one of the things that he has to say is that homosexuality generally only becomes an issue when homosexuals make it one. That is, when they force their choice of behavior or approval of their choice of behavior on others. And he's most concerned not just with homosexuals who kind of quietly go about their lifestyle, but with homosexual activists who are really making it a public issue and trying to get that issue on the public agenda. I'm wondering what your reaction to that is, and if you think that statements like the one he is making is giving any gay activists second thoughts about gay activism.
What he's really saying is, if you stay in the closet and you hide and you're afraid to be who you are, and if you don't tell anyone, we'll never know, so we won't worry about you and we won't target you for a state law to discriminate against you. But if you say who you are and if you say, I believe I deserve equal rights, you know, I think that what he's saying is that if you're scared and you're fearful, that's where we want you. But if you dare to ask for the same rights that everyone else has, then we're going to target you, and we're going to come after you, and we're going to do everything we can to make you scared and fearful again. So I don't think that it's going to have the effect that he wants. I think what it's going to do is appall the heterosexual community and say, look, we may not like everything about this, but we don't want a group of our citizens to be official second-class citizens. That's not the kind of state that we want to have.
Have you been doing one-on-one debates with people from the other side who support the initiative?
Yes, yes. And I think that they use the message that he used. They also say, well, we just don't want you to have special rights. And that's their sort of tag phrase. It means virtually nothing. In the law that they've proposed to amend our state constitution with, they talk about quotas and affirmative action. And, of course, there is no affirmative action, nor any single proposal anywhere that I'm aware of for affirmative action for lesbians and gay men. It's a nonsense issue that they have brought into the debate or tried to bring into the debate. And I think the public is beginning to see through that. The public is beginning to say, look, what you're really saying is nonsense. Nobody's asking for that. They're asking for equality under the law. And if you're a citizen, you ought to have that.
Do you think this initiative is bringing forward more people as activists who hadn't been activists before or perhaps hadn't even been publicly gay before? Or do you think it's perhaps driving people more into the closet and making them retreat from activism because they're afraid of the consequences?
I will tell you that people in this state who are lesbian and gay are scared. They're not paralyzed, but they are very, very scared. And I will tell you that some of the supporters in this state that are heterosexual are beginning to say, well, who's next? Who's next? So the fear is there, but it is, in a sort of painful way, forcing us all to say, I've got to do something about this. And the coalitions that are being forged are amazing. And the number of people that are taking personal risks to say, hey, I'm a juvenile court judge, and I'm also a lesbian, and I won't be able, I'm an award-winning, employee, but I won't be able to do my job if this law passes. And teachers saying, I will be fired, and counselors saying, I won't be able to do my job any longer. People are really, whether they are homosexual coming out or whether they are heterosexual coming out in favor of our campaign, it's happening all across the state. Very brave and courageous stands, and great risks being taken by people who say they just can't sit by and see this kind of thing pass.
Peggy Norman directs No on 9, the coalition opposing ballot measure number 9 in Oregon, which would require the state government to discourage homosexuality.